Dina, how good are you with plants? Do you manage to keep them alive?
I actually am pretty good at taking care of plants. I have a lot of house plants. I have a lot of yard plants. The problem now is I have some Florida style plants that I've raised since they were babies that I was able to keep indoors, and I put them outside, and now they're so huge, I don't know if we're going to get them back inside. How about you, Charles?
I was gifted my first plant in years, and I was like, okay, we're going to attempt this again. It was something easy. I honestly don't remember what it was. It was some sort of like creeping moss with purple flowers or whatever. It died within a week. I don't have a green thumb. Whatever the opposite of a green thumb is, it's that. But I would love to like have plants inside my apartment to just freshen up, have that little bit of more oxygen.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of a natural filter too.
Well, there's this really cool product that UMB alum and a classmate of hers through a multidisciplinary program invented right here at UMB with the help of The Grid. It's called Algen Air, and it's actually an algae lamp. And it sounds cooler than what I just described. Trust me, it lights up green. It's on your desk, and it actually will use photosynthesis, take that carbon out and exchange it for oxygen with the power of what we're told, 25 houseplants. And I can tell you now, I have zero room for 25 houseplants in my apartment.
Well, you might be able to get one of these then, and it'll do all the work of your poor plant that died, plus a few others. Well, I'm interested because I've worked here for a number of years. I'm familiar with what The Grid is, but I don't really know a whole lot about The Grid and how it actually works for students. So I would love to engage in a conversation to learn more.
Yeah. And so the Grid is a great resource for students who might have like an idea for an invention, or maybe they want to improve something, start a company or business. And to talk about what The Grid is, we have on hand in this episode, Jenny Owens. She's the assistant dean of the graduate school. She's also executive director of The Grid. Taylor DeBoer, he is the assistant director of The Grid. And then our inventors of Algen Air, there's Dan Fusich. He's the co-founder and chief scientific officer. He is a graduate of the University of Maryland College Park. And Kelsey Abernathy is the other co-founder. She is a 2021 graduate of UMB with a PhD in environmental molecular biology. So I'm looking forward to finding out how these two even came up with the idea of using algae for your apartment.
You're listening to the heartbeat of the University of Maryland, Baltimore, the UMB Pulse.
We've got a full house today. Welcome to Jenny, Taylor, Dan, and Kelsey. So let's start out. Jenny or Taylor, tell me, what is The Grid? How did it start?
I'm Jenny Owens. I'm executive director of The Grid and associate dean in the graduate school. The Grid, if you're new to this work, just a moment to orient you. It celebrated its fifth birthday this year, which is really exciting. It's a hub of entrepreneurial resources for students, faculty, and staff. And it's a place for them to gather and collaborate, to learn, and hopefully also to empower and create.
And if I'm a student, how do I find out more? How do I become involved?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many workshops that we offer throughout the year, and these range from intellectual property, inclusive leadership, design thinking, customer discovery. These are open to any member of the UMB community and beyond. So if you have a spouse, a friend who's also interested in working on a project with you, they're more than welcome to come. So that's one area that you can get involved. We also have a series of mentors. So if you have an idea and you're interested in getting additional advice, that's another opportunity. And we also have Grid Pitch. So this can feel intimidating if you're like, whoa, this seems like a big thing to get involved with. But you have mentoring for several weeks. You can come in it with an idea. You can come in with the prototype. You can come in any place you are and get support for your needs.
Going back to the origins of The Grid, now The Grid's actually an acronym. Explain what it stands for, and do you still use the full name or reference the entire name of The Grid?
So the whole name is Graduate Research Innovation District. It took There were many meetings to try to figure out like what to call this, what would be distinct, what would be unique. And we actually ended up a group of, there were students, there was folks from UM Ventures, there's people from the graduate school. And we ended up one afternoon at Mount Vernon Marketplace up the street, and we had note cards and we were just brainstorming. And as universities, we love our acronyms. We wanted it to be pronounceable and memorable. And also symbolically, you have a bunch of things woven together. You have interconnectivity. But we thought the name was reflective of our different disciplines on campus and where we can intersect and build and create. So that's the origin story of the name. But it was way too long. It felt like it was like naming a child. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense because, as you mentioned, everything's woven into this. And we have our different professional schools from the different disciplines, right? So you have, you know, potential from medicine and nursing and pharmacy and law and social work. And then you have folks like Dan and Kelsey, who we'll hear from later, coming in from another arena. But the heart of this is entrepreneurship. And why is the word entrepreneur scary for some students? And why shouldn't it be?
It can be a scary word. It can be perceived as a scary word. And some of the reasons why might be risk and uncertainty. This idea that you're trying something new, this idea that you can fail in it. For us that are conditioned to value stability, you know, going out on your own and trusting in your ideas can be a big leap. So I think there's some of the psychology there that can be something to overcome. I think there's financial concerns. Like our students often are going, taking out loans or going into debt for their education. And so they want stability to repay them. Or is this going to cost me extra money to figure this out? So I think there are financial concerns about why maybe entrepreneurship feels intimidating. Lack of experience. Our students are trained in a certain discipline. Who am I to build this? Like, what skill set do I have? So I think that could be there too. And a lot of our PhD students in particular, and many other students, you're trained for a path. You're trained to be a nurse. You're trained to be a scientist. And to step off a path when you're charting out your life and you may have selected this for a reason can feel like a deviation from what is expected of you. So I think there's reasons why it can be intimidating to students, but I think it's also important to note that the fear associated with the term, if there is fear, isn't necessarily justified. There's a lot of reasons why you'd want to get involved. I think there's an opportunity for innovation, an opportunity to make your mark in a unique way and take your unique lens. Like all of us are individuals and see the world in a certain way. Taking that lens and applying it to a problem that you see or an opportunity, I think is really exciting. And these students often possess knowledge. I'm excited that Dan and Kelsey are here because they're a prime example of students who took what they were working on and found a really novel use for it. I think with entrepreneurship, there's flexibility and autonomy. And who doesn't want that? You know, this idea that you can design something around your values. You can design it around how you see yourself working. Instead of picking an organization where you think you'd be a good fit, building that organization to fit around your values. That's an amazing and powerful thing. I think skill development, there's opportunities to learn whole new skill sets. And learning things as you go can be really empowering. Personal and professional growth, I think, are also opportunities of engaging in this can be a transformational journey for a lot of people and build different confidence and different skill set. And then at last, I just want to say potential for impact. We know what jobs are out there, and there's many, many more. We have AI that's emerging even stronger. There's so many jobs that haven't been created yet. And I think as these jobs are being created, being alongside of that change to make your mark with your innovation is a way to build something different, a way to build something that's evolving as the world is evolving. So I think it's an exciting term, but I could see why there's pros and cons.
You know, you mentioned a lot about the potential for students, what they can do, but then the other part of this equation is the business community. Explain that link between the students and the business community, how the two meet through the grid.
So I really think Baltimore is an amazing place for students to get started on their journey because it's one of the best kept secrets in the nation's innovation scene, I think, and also more approachable. You're not paying the high rents that you pay in Boston or Silicon Valley. There's adequate venture capital that's continuing to grow. It's one of the 20 hottest cities in tech. It's ranked third in Fast Company's list of innovation states. Maryland is a state. It's fourth in the number of startups per million residents. Like, there's really a lot of movement and momentum here. And not to mention Baltimore itself as a destination. We have Philly, we have Pittsburgh, we have DC, we have New York. Everyone's a train ride away. And so when you're looking for collaborators, you have the FDA. You just have these tremendous resources here so that students can connect. And we also have a big list of mentors. So when students have an idea, we really try to be deliberate about finding the right people for them to connect with. Is it more of a social venture? Is it more bio? Like, is it more manufacturing? Like, we have people to connect students with to really customize that path. And I would be remiss too if I didn't talk about the bio part. The bio part is a fantastic resource for students. There are so many companies that are doing incredibly innovative things right here on our campus. There's even an event tomorrow, Science in the City, which is hosted pretty regularly, where leaders in startup, leaders at UMB, students will go and mingle. And I think those are great opportunities for students to continue to lean in to opportunities to bridge into the business.
Right. And talking about that tech scene and hub scene, there are a lot of professional groups in the city too, right? And I'll see in the newsletters about, hey, there's a Women in Science meetup at Checker Spot Brewery happening this week. So there's probably brewery for every association to have their event in town at this point, right? So let's get to the grid pitch. You mentioned that earlier. Go more in depth about the grid pitch, what students get through that mentorship, the lead up to it.
I'm Taylor DeBoer, Assistant Director of the Grid. So yeah, the grid pitch, it's really about innovation and discovery. I think for our students, I think that's the key. And we've now had five of them and it's grown and evolved quite a bit. One thing that's really interesting about grid pitch is two things. First, it's not a competition like many of the pitch showcases across the state and across the United States are. It is a showcase. It's not a competition. And we have a two-tiered system with grid pitch where we accept students who just have an idea. And that's called our vision category. So most pitch competitions or showcases feature students who are a little further along in their entrepreneurial journey. And we have that as well as part of our venture category. But we want to make sure that students who just have an idea, who maybe want to dip their toe in the entrepreneurial pond, can experience that mentorship, that pitch development. It's 6 weeks of what we pair the students with mentors if they get accepted. And they have 6 weeks to work with them, develop that pitch deck, learn about concepts like customer discovery, market viability, all of those great things. And then at the end of that 6 weeks, they get to pitch in front of startup leaders in the startup community, entrepreneurs, university leadership, fellow colleagues, students, friends, family. So it's a really great opportunity for them to kind of learn about the entrepreneurship in general and also learn about pitch development and kind of get started along that journey. So I think, and also another thing that it really helps with is public speaking. I think it's a great opportunity to get in front of a group and learn how to talk about your cool idea in a way that's going to be engaging for the audience. And I think that's also a big part of it. And then the networking that happens after the event, at the event, throughout the process, the connections that get forged with other students who are participating in Grid Pitch. I think all of that is part of it. But I think that networking piece is also really, really important. And we continue that relationship with those students after the showcase in April. I'm still in touch with them regularly this summer. I meet with them, answer questions, try to continue to support them in any ways we can. A lot of them continue to have conversations with their mentors and work with their mentors, which is great after Grid Pitch. So it doesn't just end in April. It usually continues throughout the summer and the rest of the year. So, and Dan and Kelsey participated in our first two, Dan and Kelsey of Algenair, we're so happy to have them here, participated in our first two grid pitches, 2018 and 19. They can talk a little bit more about that experience, but they started as participants. They've since graduated and have had great success and have come back as mentors. And at our most recent grid pitch, they spoke and shared some wisdom and knowledge with our fellow students. So they've remained very close to the Grid Pitch showcase event.
So that leads us to Kelsey and Dan. That would be the next logical step. Why don't the two of you hop in and tell us a little bit First, tell us a little bit, paint a picture for us. What is Algen Air?
Thank you so much for having us. My name's Kelsey. I'm one of the co-founders of Algen Air alongside Dan. And Algen Air develops living technology to improve the health and well-being of building occupants. And our products combine biology, engineering, and design to address these problems caused by our modern built environment. And our first product is the Airium. It's a modern houseplant that harnesses the photosynthetic power of having 25 plants in a single room in terms of how much carbon dioxide it can remove from the air and oxygen it's producing. We also last fall launched the first commercial size unit, which is a 100-gallon system that's using algae in the Pittsburgh International Airport to remove as much CO2 as about having 5,000 plants in a single space.
Wow. That is amazing. That sounds like a whole greenhouse.
Yeah, that is amazing. And is this something that you both conceived of as students? Tell us a little bit about how you connected and then how the grid became a piece of your journey.
So Dan and I met in 2015. We were both in the same graduate program, the NEES program, Marine Estuary Environmental Sciences, located at INET in the Inner Harbor. Dan, it was actually University of Maryland College Park. I'm University of Maryland, Baltimore, but we were in the same space doing different lab researches, but we had similar classes. And we went through this program known as the REEF program. I feel like there's a lot of acronyms. And the REEF program is the Radcliffe Environmental Entrepreneurial Fellowship Program. And this was designed to teach scientists the business side of science and entrepreneurship. We both went through this program independently, and it just was something that spoke to both of us in the sense that it was the first time someone was telling us that we could use our science degree to do something other than research. We could actually apply it to develop products that could help people and build businesses with them. And so when we were going through the program director, Nick Hammond, said there's this new event through UMB called the UMB Grid Pitch. And if you guys are interested, I think you should apply. And we did not have a business idea at the time. We had a project that we were working on for the program, both independently, but we wanted to do something different. And so I think I went to Dan and I was like, would you want to do this? Let's come up with some ideas. And we sat down for a solid half of an afternoon and just whiteboarded out a whole bunch of ideas. And that led to the idea that we pitched at the first group pitch, which was called Urban Algae. And Dan, if you want to explain Urban Algae and how that ended up becoming what is today Algen Air.
Yeah, that seems like a long time ago, but it's part of the journey how we got there. I like to say that we were interested in the grid pitch. We love the energy and pitching. And so we whiteboarded a bunch of ideas and we took the three that were the least bad and that started Urban Algae. We were trying to solve the problem of toxic contamination of cyanotoxins in dietary supplements that you can go and buy. It's called blue-green algae on the shelf at Whole Foods. People are taking this every day and they're thinking it's improving their health, but they're actually ingesting a toxin that is slowly damaging their liver. At about like 75% of the off-the-shelf products labeled Klamath Lake or blue-green algae products contain these cyanotoxins. So we wanted a dietary supplement that we could control the strain and not have contamination from these cyanotoxins. We wanted to build extremely large photobioreactors in underutilized urban areas on basically rooftops. And that was our first idea. And part of that pitching in 2018, then 2019, and being paired with great mentors through GRID and having those recurring meetings the 6 weeks before your actual pitch, the feedback from the judges and that continued mentorship over time, that led us to talk to individuals that were a lot smarter than ourselves, poke holes in the idea that we had initially. And then we took what we really liked about the core of that idea in utilizing carbon dioxide from indoor areas and actually bioremediating that with microalgae. And so we were able to hone in our idea, develop a consumer product to solve the single room solution for elevated indoor CO2. And then we're looking to increase the scale as we grow and develop the company.
Oh, that's incredible. So neither of you really felt like you had a lot of business experience coming into this. Like, you feel like that's where you've gotten all of your business acumen that's helping you grow this into an actual business?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think in the past, in high school, I really liked Shark Tank and I worked odd jobs and stuff like that, but nothing to prepare you for actually starting your own business. It wasn't a thought. I thought that I was going to be a professor with the pads on the sleeves and I was running a lab and teaching. And yeah, as Jenny said, like, learning on the fly as you grow and find your core competencies and learning more about business as you do it was a really rewarding process. Kelsey, if you want to add to that.
Yeah, definitely. I started grad school thinking I was going to be a research scientist for NOAA. And I think having gone through everything in the past 5 years, now I couldn't imagine working in a research lab. So I'm to the complete other side. And we've gone through programs like the REAP program and accelerator programs as we've been on this journey. But I think the most valuable experience has come from just actually building the business itself, being hands-on, and you kind of learn as things come at you. And that's been a really cool experience.
Was there like an aha moment as you were learning through the different strategies, the different things you had to do to make this a product, get it on the market, where everything started to click after you were initially underwater?
I think, and Kelsey, if you have other thoughts, the moment that's sticking out in my mind is when you're trying to grow microalgae, you're creating a photobioreactor, you need your nutrient sources. And I think the aha moment was when I was searching for carbon dioxide source for the actual photobioreactors. And I think the aha moment was, well, the building exhaust has very high concentrations of CO2 that we're breathing out. And then that aha moment of, yeah, we can use that CO2 source, run it through the photobioreactor, and it can be an organism alongside the humans in our built environment. So we're giving it carbon dioxide and it's giving us oxygen. And just that complete cycle of symbiosis was really pivotal in the direction of the company.
If someone buys one, puts it in their office or bedroom, what do they have to do? How does it work exactly?
I mean, I have one. I love it. Of course I would have one, right? But essentially there's a subscription model. And Kelsey and Dan, you can always jump in and correct me, but you just get a new thing every 2 months. And you kind of, it's a tube, essentially, and it's a base. It looks nice. I have a lot of plants. Like, I'm really into plants, like more so than I want to be. I do. I'm that's kind of a joke, but I have 59 plants in my home. And I only know because my 7-year-old counted them this weekend. He's like, you have 59 plants, Mom. I said, thank you. So, but I also have this awesome irium. And essentially, it starts kind of a lighter color, it turns darker green over time. You clean it out every 2 months. There's a very thin filter. It's very easy to care for. And what's really nice as a plant enthusiast like me is you can take the leftovers and it becomes a fertilizer for plants. And so I dilute it and then feed my plants. So it serves kind of a two-purpose for me of I have healthier plants and I have better air quality. So that's my experience as a consumer of it, but Dan and Kelsey can chime in if I'm missing anything there.
That's perfect. I love directly from the everyday user's mouth. I think that's perfect. Couldn't have said it better myself. And yeah, we like to think that I went to school for 5 years in phycology to grow algae so that it's so easy that anybody can do it and really empower people to grow their own fresh source of spirulina at their house and have a device that improves the indoor air quality of gaseous pollutants, CO2, and creating oxygen that any other air filter that uses a particulate filter can't do. So yeah, exactly right.
I'm so bad at taking care of plants. I think algae is the only thing I could probably keep alive. This sounds like something that's ideal for me, especially with the benefits. Since Kelsey and Dan both mentioned that they're part of the Marine Estuarine Environmental Sciences Program and worked at IMET. Can you explain to our audience what they are and how they're connected to UMB?
The MEES program is a interdisciplinary graduate school program that is across all of the University of Maryland schools. And so you have College Park, UMB, UMBC, and then there's different labs located throughout Maryland where you could actually go to do your research. So IMED is the lab we were at. Horn Point is one. There's another one down in Southern Maryland. And I think there's one at College Park itself. And basically, wherever your professor is that they are doing the research, that is where you're located. And so our professors both happen to be at the IMET location, even though they were through different University of Maryland schools.
So Taylor and Jenny, because of the multi-campus aspect of that program, is that how you're able to connect, or are those program students all invited to be part of the grid?
So the grid pinch, you can have, as long as there's a UMB student, you can have other members. We've had a lot of different partnerships that occur, but we do ask that one person is a UMB student. And a lot of our programs open to anyone. And in College Park, too, is very inclusive with them opening their programs to us as well, and often featuring them in our newsletter. But we do have a newsletter that goes out periodically. There's a website with more information. Taylor's present at all of the orientations on campus. And then we're located in the library as well, in the HSHSL. So we have a central location there on the third floor. Dan is, he's like honorary UMB grad, I think. But I do think that's like a really unique and awesome collaboration to have, where essentially your mentor school determines where you're graduating from. And I think like having relationships like this where you meet other students with similar or intersectional kind of interests, I think is a powerful testament to like being a part of a great system like the USM.
Being in the program, and I think Dan and I actually learned a lot about how the university systems work while we were building this business, because since we were both from different universities, we had to go through the process of the conflict of interest process for each of the universities and kind of figuring out how everything connected to each other to ensure that what we were building for Algenair was separate from the research that we were doing in the lab for our thesis work.
So then touching on that, what either resource or process that you learned from the grid did you use, or what you think was like vital to making those connections, making it kind of get off the ground?
I'd say from my end, it was, I think, initially just being connected to people in the ecosystem. So when we signed up for that first grid pitch, our mentor was fantastic and actually helped us connect to a bunch of different people to talk to before we actually did the pitch. So during that kind of 6-week lead up period. And through those connections started a lot of conversations around what it was that we were building and why. And I think that was very important, because for both of us initially, this was just kind of a fun pitch competition experience to go through. Like, we didn't enter this with the full intent of this is going to become a business. But in talking to people, we got enough encouragement and started enough different conversations that when the pitch ended, both of us were like, we want to continue doing this. We want to see where this can go. And it would take another, I think, close to 6 months between the grid pitch finishing and us actually forming Algenair as a legal entity. And it, during that time, is kind of when we went through the process of pivoting on what we were going to be, changing the name, and started applying to different accelerator programs and grants in order to find the funding to build those first prototypes.
When it sounds like you've built the prototypes, you're making sales. Obviously, Jenny is a good customer, and maybe the rest of us will be joining in after everything we've heard today. But what are your next steps? What are your growth plans? So you mentioned the airport in Pittsburgh. That sounds like a huge undertaking, a growth on your in-home conceived idea. So what's next?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, we are stabilizing and scaling the consumer product. So our tabletop unit, the Aerium, that's the equivalent of 25 houseplants in a single room. We're stabilizing that consumer product and then scaling up in volume and actual larger photobioreactors to commercial installs. I think green walls that incorporate microalgae and enclosed ecosystems that can grow their own fertilizer for the terrestrial plants that you may have. So yeah, right now we're increasing marketing and scaling the hardware sales, and then supporting the customers with our refill units, and then going to commercial sales for larger scale like the Pittsburgh International Airport. The 100-gallon system, that was a really fun product sprint. Actually, we set the deadline pretty aggressively, where we went from a product sketch on a whiteboard to 100 gallons active in the airport, growing in like 40 days. We had a great team that helped us locally here in Pittsburgh Valley design. They were integral. And then we just worked really well with them. And we exceeded expectations in the words of the Pittsburgh International Airport. So that was a really fun system. And then at scale, the business models actually can feed themselves. When you do have the larger scale units, you can distribute that biomass locally to customers. In this case, near Pittsburgh, you can imagine one in New York, one in Los Angeles. Our customers are concentrated in urban and high population density areas. So the large scale versions, you can use that biomass to then support the small consumer product area customers. And next steps on the next large scale, I have trouble saying no. So even though I told myself I'm going to focus on the consumer product, we were approached by an artist, Lisa Morin. She is a Baltimore artist and former colleague at IMET, the Institute of Marine and Environmental Technology. She has an ongoing installation called What is the Shape of Water? And she's telling the story of bioluminescent dinoflagellates, which is another fancy word for microalgae that light up when you shake them, lack of a better term. So her installation showcases biological illumination. So we're telling the story going from fire, candlelight, into that electric light, the classic Edison bulb, and then now what the future looks of 50, 100 years down the line looks like, where we could actually be using organisms to light our indoor spaces, which ties exactly in with Algenair's living technology, where you can imagine using biological organisms to light up the world indoors in our built environment. So that is going in November in the Peel Art Museum. So it's nice to have a little bit more of a runway than 40 days, but yeah, that project is coming along well and it's going to be really beautiful. So if people are interested in the artistic side, we'd love to show you that.
Was one of her pieces of works displayed at Light City Baltimore a few years ago by chance? Yeah, because I think I remember seeing that and walking in there. I was just blown away by it.
Yes. Yeah, it's captivating, mesmerizing. Like the vocabulary list goes on, and we're really honored to be a small part of the story she's telling.
That's incredible. And then from the grid side, you both are young entrepreneurs. Do you give back in any way to the grid? Do you circle back with students who are currently going through the program and grid pitch?
Yeah, absolutely. We've tried to stay as involved as we can. I've been a mentor for the past 2 grid pitches, working with students, kind of helping them for their pitch. And that's something that is such a cool honor to be able to do, because our mentors have been so important in getting us to where we are and where Algenair is today. So to kind of be on the other side, provide mentorship and give back to students just starting on their journey has been a really neat experience. And I always try to approach it from the idea of what do I wish I knew at that stage? What do I wish someone had told me or shared with me? And how can I help them where they want to go? And then since we're located in Pittsburgh now, we aren't as involved on the, day to day, but whenever we're in town, we always try to visit the grid and they're having any events as well.
Kelsey and Dan are really like the gold standard of what we're trying to build here with the grid. And so their success that they've had is a big part of that, but it's also the mentorship that they give back to our students. I could go on and on the amount of times that they've supported our events, led programs for us, worked with students, mentored. They're truly, truly valuable mentors to our students. And that's really what we're trying to build with the grid is guide and mentor students on their journey. We hope and wish them success. And when they do have success, we hope that they're willing to come back and support our students the way that Kelsey and Dan have.
Well, earlier you said you have trouble saying no. I was wondering if Mark Cuban would call if he would say no.
They would certainly be instrumental in accelerating our process. But yeah, that would be a pretty fun experience. Yeah, going on Shark Tank would be, I guess that's the show, right? Like that's right, the yeah. ultimate, that's the highest level. Ultimately, Taylor, you're too kind. Yeah, we're happy to support Grid any way that we can, because frankly, we wouldn't be here without both of the Grid pitches and all the mentors and the support that we received. So just trying to help other students go along the same path that we did and learn from the mistakes, the many mistakes that we made. So yeah, happy to help.
It's so interesting how you were traveling down this path, thinking you knew where you were headed, and now look where you are. It's really an exciting story. I appreciate you guys sharing so much with us.
There are different resources throughout UMB that are pulled into the Grid. And one that comes to mind is the Intellectual Property Clinic. Taylor and Jenny, talk a little bit about those different resources and how they help students preparing with their pitches and their ideas.
Big part of what we do is collaboration, right? We're interdisciplinary. We work with entities across campus with the different schools. Law Clinic is a great example. We've worked with them since the beginning of the Grid. They used to meet clients in person. So that clinic, for those who don't know, provides pro bono legal counsel. It's a student-run clinic, and they work with attorneys and professors in the School of Law. And they work with clients pro bono around issues, IP issues. Kelsey and Dan have actually worked with them in the past. So they used to meet with clients in our old space in person. Now they meet mostly virtually, but we send so many individuals, both students and non-students. A lot of people reach out to me with questions about IP. We send so many people to them, and we have a close relationship with them. Their director, Patty Campbell, and a bunch of the other professors who work with the Law Clinic lead a lot of our IP-related programming, usually 3 or 4 programs every year, led by the Intellectual Property Clinic. So we have a great relationship with them. And we collaborate with the Office of Sustainability on events. We work very closely with ORD. They're great partners of ours, continue to be great partners of ours. And we've collaborated and led events with them. We've worked with the Center for Global Engagement on programming. We've co-hosted events with Women in Bio. The School of Pharmacy has contributed and award money for our Grid pitch students. So they're close collaborators, and we've worked with them. So yeah, we've worked with a lot of different entities around campus. So it's a big part of our mission is to collaborate. And in fact, our in-person programming is almost all collaborative now these days. We try to do 3 to 5 of those per semester, and we make sure that those are collaborations, whether it's with Women in Bio, Office of Sustainability, Office of Research and Development, various different organizations.
The space that we exist in the library, like there's an innovation hub in the library with a 3D printer. That's amazing. There's augmented and virtual reality opportunities in the library as well. There's so many resources there that students can use that we didn't have access to in our previous space. Dan and Kelsey are probably 3D printing experts by now due to their prototyping that they did as well. But like that library partnership and just the welcome we felt in their space has been really valuable as well.
Yeah, that's a relatively new space there on the 3rd floor of the Health Sciences and Human Services Library. What else do you have in there if someone hasn't been inside?
Yeah, so we have about 1,200 square feet of flexible programming and collaborative workspace. So there are a ton of little tables where students are often sitting and studying, collaborating, having conversations, working. It is a library, so when we're not having programming, we try to keep it relatively quiet and respectful for the rest of the people who are in the library. But it's a great space for students to hang out and do work or research, whatever they may need. And then when we have events, it's completely flexible. So it gets converted into a 1,200 square foot space. There's a large TV screen and AV equipment, PA system, and all of that. So we can have events of up to about 80 people is our capacity. But it's growing because there are some stacks have removed. And thanks to the continued generous support of the library, we're going to be gaining probably about 400 or 500 additional square feet of space. So we'll be able to have slightly larger events in the future. So that's exciting. And then my office is also in the Grid, and I have a conference room. So there's flex space in there too. If students, faculty, staff, really anyone needs to have a conversation. I've had some Grid pitch students meet with their mentors in my office in that conference room. So So we have kind of a multi-purpose space.
Ideas can strike at any time. Can students or even folks in the community reach out to you anytime during the year? Or are you more like on a semester cycle with the different programming?
I encourage students to reach out to me at any point. I meet with students fairly regularly, and sometimes it's they're interested in learning more about what we have to offer. They're interested, they have an idea, but they're not sure if it's a good fit for Grid Pitch. We also do career services out of the Grid, which is something I haven't mentioned yet. And that's a collaboration that started with Student Affairs. So we do a lot of career services as well. So I even meet with students and help them with career services, sometimes one-on-one. So definitely do not wait for the Grid Pitch application cycle to come out if you're a student and you're interested in this world of entrepreneurship in any capacity. We have so many things to offer, and I'd love to just have a conversation over Zoom or in person or get a coffee and talk about what you may want to do, what you're trying to build, what skills you want to gain, and I can then kind of guide you to one of the many different things that we offer or multiple things that we offer that kind of fits that student's need. So that's, yeah, just email me. Just shoot me an email, send me a text. Let's have a conversation.
We work in the graduate school, Taylor and I, but it's for all students. So it's not just for graduate school students. We have social work students, we have pharmacy students. Like, we just want to make sure everyone feels welcome in the space and that it's not just a graduate school thing. And we were also deliberate about like the location of making it in a space too that was kind of neutral to school. So I just want to emphasize that if you're not sure it's for you, it is for you. It's for any student.
I want to add too that I think entrepreneurship is as much a mindset and a philosophy as it is a career path. So I think you don't have to be an aspiring entrepreneur by definition to gain knowledge or skills or to engage with our programming. I think that's really important to highlight that maybe you need help with career services. Maybe you're just interested in something we have to offer. Maybe you're not sure why, but you wanna engage. So reach out to us, come to our Lunch and Learns. I don't think it's just for students who are launching an app or creating a medical device or wanna start a company. I think it's for all students of UMB. And we have programming and services to support all students.
Fantastic. Thank you again to Jenny, Taylor, Dan, and Kelsey. And to learn more about both the Grid and Algenair, you can visit the links in our show notes.
The UMB Pulse with Charles Shalade and Dana Rampola is a UMB Office of Communications and Public Affairs production, edited by Charles Shalade, marketing by Dana Rampola.